This week on Potlatch, Chris Anderson of the Tanana Chiefs comments on subsistence. Chris Anderson of the Tanana Chiefs Conference addressed the University of Alaska seminar on the present and future of subsistence in rural Alaska on February 9, 1978. Here are some of his comments.
I've worked with Tanana Chiefs Conference now for about, last January, for about 6 years. And I've been traveling to many of the villages, and I think I have a pretty good feeling concerning what their feelings are concerning subsistence in the past, right now, and in the future, and I hope to relay these to you. Most of the things I'll be discussing will be concerning three proposals, or perhaps soon to be pieces of legislation, both on a state and national level. I know that the state administration has put together a proposal for decentralizing the state boards of fish and game. I'm going to have a few comments on that. Of course, the D2 lands issue in D.C., I heard it moved from one committee and into another one, and I don't know how many more are going to be followed. Got some comments on that. And then also, I think Representative Nels Anderson, who is chairing the interim committee on subsistence during this past year, has also introduced a couple of resolutions and perhaps proposal two, something to counteract the administration's proposal. I have a few comments on that. Governor Hammond's proposal, or the state administration's proposal, as you might be aware of right now, is to decentralize or change the system of the Fish and Game Department, the regulatory functions, into a regional concept, where the state is proposing to get more input from the villages concerning land management and the rules and regulations thereunder. For the most part, in talking with a few people out in the villages, a lot of the people feel that is it's a step in the right direction. A lot of people feel that at least something is being done concerning the input from the people in the villages. You might know I think the concept deals only with advisory boards or councils in the throughout the state of Alaska, and this is something that that has been returned to me as negative. The people in the villages in the interior of Alaska in the TCC region feel that they should probably go one more step and make these councils have the authority to pass laws or pass rules and regulations as opposed to an advisory crew. Probably the most important thing that has come up is that these people, they want to have an easier accessibility to this regulatory power, and to have another level of government to work through. It's just really not, they're not really that happy about it. So, if this concept of, decentralizing the system comes through, I think that they would really want to have these councils and boards have regulatory power. Like I said, they also feel like this proposal from the administration is creating yet another level of government. And they feel that this type of thing really isn't at all decentralization of the state government. They feel that now they've got to go through the advisory board, now and they then go to the state boards, whether fish or game or whatever. And it's just not close enough for these people. They feel like they want to have somebody, in the Fort Yukon Flats area, as a region perhaps. This is another thing too, that maybe the boundaries that are proposed by the state administration may not be in line with the thinking of the people in the interior. But at any rate, I think what they're really after is close accessibility to the power, the people that are making the decisions on land management, subsistence uses, things of this sort. There are, like I said, some advantages to this type of a concept. They feel that perhaps finally, like I said, input from the rural areas is going to be maximized to some extent. They will have more of a chance to see people that are hopefully close to them and you know, they can communicate with, so that their wishes are known. So all in all, I think the administration's proposal, along with the interim committee's proposal, are pretty much in line. It's a beginning. Now, the legislative interim committee's proposal on subsistence is pretty much in line with their way of thinking. They would have some sort of regulatory responsibilities. The committees, or the councils, or the boards, what have you, that are going to be formulated under this proposal. They would also have regulatory powers. And something that they're really into. It's something that I think a lot of people are really for. However, you look at the political climate in Juneau, and I think everybody will know that, I think there was an article in the paper a couple of days ago concerning this, that the governor's proposal wasn't really in line. It was going to cost some more money and things of this sort. The interim committee's proposal was going to be, you know, a little bit too much, that perhaps some of the people from the urban areas or whatnot aren't really going to have that much say, as I think they should, but at least for the people in the rural areas, I think they really like it. There's probably going to be some problems with the interim committee's proposal, in that I think it was brought out also in the same article that you know, fish and game don't know any boundaries. They're going to swim from one region to another. I was talking this concept over, and they felt that to some people, and they felt it was a good concept. However, they also felt like, what happens if one region has such and such to say about moose hunting, you know, things of this sort, and then another region has a different thing to say about, you know, the same type of game, wildlife, whatever. And you know, what happens if you know, cow moose season opens for 2 weeks here and it opens over here for like 3 or 4 weeks, you know, whatever they come up with. You know, moose travel a little bit, but not that much from what I understand from the people in the villages. Fish, that's another tricky question. There's got to be a mechanism to control the whole state. Caribou migrate perhaps from one proposed region to another. What those boundaries are, I know that the subcommittees, I mean the interim committee's boundaries, I think is proposed for the 12 regional corporations. And I think Hammond's proposal was just, you know, up for comment. But there does seem to be a problem with migrating fish and game animals. After talking with a few people, if this proposal was to go through, this one of setting up regulatory fish and game boards that would have, you know, the authority to pass regulations, there's going to be problems, you know, game moving from one region to another and different regulations and management ideas. Perhaps for game, I think for game, I think, you know, I think these people would like to have some say-so concerning, you know, the game and things of the sort. But for fisheries, I really don't think that they want that responsibility yet at this time. So when you're talking about fishing game, I think they would really want a responsibility or something to say on game, but when it comes to fisheries, I think that's something that's not yet decided upon. I don't think that they want to have that responsibility to manage this type of renewable resource. This proposal that Nels Anderson's committee drew up, like I said, there may be problems. This one guy entertained the thought, saying that perhaps maybe we should go and have these proposed boards and things, but there's got to be somebody overhead that's kind of an arbitration or an arbitrator type of a committee or a board or whatever that would that would decide different rules and regulations, or probably have the final say so concerning tricky questions like fish and wildlife moving from one region to another. I think that might be a good idea, and I've talked to a few people on it, and they said that that might be a great idea. That might be a way to get around some of the problems that are coming up and be coming up in the future concerning this interim committee's report. Another proposal that they had was to create a a division of subsistence in the State Department of Fish and Game. Of course, the people and the villagers are really, really happy about this. They felt that the subsistence is something that they felt that a lot of people didn't really know about. In fact, I think a lot of the people do not care if a definition of subsistence is available, you know, in different pieces of legislation. They just want to make sure that the people know exactly what subsistence is. And I think a lot of them feel that, gee, those guys don't know what subsistence is. What are those guys in D.C. doing? What are those guys on the state level doing? You know, they've got to be out there. They've got to take it out. They've got to check it out. What is subsistence? Because of this feeling, I think they were really for the committee's proposal to create a subsistence division in the State Department of Fish and Game. Also pretty much felt that it was a good idea that perhaps this interim committee on subsistence be an ongoing type of committee, you know, until this issue, this D2 issue, whatever issues happen to come up from year to year, is addressed.
I am your child.
Music of Mary Travers. Next, Chris Anderson comments on a recent revision of D2 legislation proposed by a United States House committee chaired by John Seiberling. This committee revision allowed for subsistence hunting and fishing on land selected for wilderness areas. Anderson also comments on the Carlos Frank case, in which a man from Minto was arrested for hunting a moose out of season in order to contribute to a potlatch in Minto.
The D2 legislation now that just been recently moved from one committee and I guess expected to go to another one, it's got some pretty good language in it. There have been some changes within the last couple weeks or so. I think there has been some language that was passed around here. It came out January 14th from the Cyberlink committee, and a lot of that language looked pretty good. I think a lot of the people in rural Alaska now thought that it was almost, you know, a godsend type of thing. What's going to happen from now, I don't know. I think that, you know, that everybody's preparing forces, you know, to make changes as it goes from one committee to another. And the people in the rural Alaska within the Tanana Chiefs region hope it doesn't change that much. One thing that I get an impression of from the different people in the interior of Alaska, mostly in the smaller communities, is that the present system of fishing game isn't really in line with their way of thinking. Like I said, they would like to have close access to the decision makers, and they feel that this access is not existing at this time. Some of the people say that they went to boards of fisheries meetings, boards of games meetings, and they discussed something in one certain area of Alaska. Meanwhile, people that are representative are from other areas, you know, and say, what the heck, you know. There really isn't that much, I think they feel that there really isn't that much, you know, oomph behind it. A lot of people are, you know, if it comes to like a committee member that happens to be from Kotzebue or something like that, and they're discussing Kodiak fishing, that Kotzebue guy isn't going to do that much. You know, this is using this as an example, and, you know, vice versa type of thing. So another point is that the present system really isn't doing, I think, what they should be doing. They've had problems in the past. Galena area, there was some people saying that one year they went out with their boat to the fish camps, and they flew from one village to another for some reason or another, and they saw 30 or 40 moose that were shot down and killed and just left there. And this has happened year after year after year, and of course, you know, nobody knows who's done it. They've got ideas, like everybody else does, but another good point that many of the people in the villages say is that I think perhaps the Department of Public Safety should get more money for enforcement purposes. They feel that even to the point of it is possible to commission people in the rural areas, perhaps one from every village or one from a group of villages, should have the authority by the commissioner or whatever the statute is to go out and enforce fishing game regulations. For some time now, in certain areas of the Tanana Chiefs region, there, you know, the enforcement officers just aren't there when something happens. And whether it be the natives that does something wrong, the non-native, whatever. But this is one concern that they've had for the last 4 years that I've been with Tanana Chiefs Conference. There always seems to be a resolution saying that Department of Public Safety is going to have to have more bucks, more officers out in the field. Another important issue that has been up, the Carlos Frank case, I guess the state versus Carlos Frank, where he's transported moose for religious purposes. As you know, I think as you're aware of, there are a lot of people in the bush that are really, really for this type of thing, because it is a religious type of thing. Fresh meat is to be used. If anything other than fresh caught meat, the spirits of the deceased would be ill at ease, and that, you know, in order to ease the spirit, to move from one world to another, fresh moose meat or whatever has to be there during the potlatch. This is something that I think I'm not sure where it's at right now. I think there's an appeal under decision, and of course I cannot speak for Doi Unlimited, this regional corporation in the interior here, but I think they've almost made it public that they're going to support Carlos Frank. I think they financially supported him by hiring two or three lawyers for his case.
Music of Ted Wesley.
Thought I saw your world changing right before my eyes. Wondered maybe progress wasn't just the devil in disguise. I found myself asking, is your gamble with the prize?
future of subsistence in the villages is
hard to say at this point. There may be a conflict between the people in the rural areas. As you know, we've got village corporations and a regional corporation within the Tananaw Chiefs area. They're out to make money, like any other business. We've got some resources there. The resources have to be extracted somehow or another, whether roads are to be built, railroads are to be built, utilizing the existing transportation systems like the rivers. So the conflict is, should we hold on to this subsistence lifestyle and, you know, and perhaps take a very hard stand by not extracting any minerals, or should we go ahead, you know, the minerals are there, there's a lot of money to be had. At this point, I think, in talking with a few people and in looking at Doyon Limited and what they're trying to do, I think a lot of them are satisfied with Doyon Limited's policies of looking into renewable and non-renewable resources. They feel comfortable that its board of directors and the management are going to look at extracting these minerals, you know, with a close eye on the subsistence lifestyle, or whatever that might be. I think the village corporations, although they've only had surface rights to the lands that they have selected, and the regional corporation has subsurface rights, I think they're looking at it in the same way, also. I was talking to a person from Fort Yukon, pretty heavy-duty person, kind of the godfather type of Tananaw Chiefs, I guess you might say. He said that this subsistence lifestyle is going to be around for a while. He said that whatever laws, whatever management things are going to happen, you know, this subsistence lifestyle is going to be around. These people have, from what I understand now, in reading some reports from, I think, a nutritionist up here, these people are used to this type of living. Bring them to beef from moose and this type of thing may do some harm to their nutritional needs. So physically speaking, you know, perhaps moose meat, caribou meat, fish meat, things of this sort are physically something that they really need. It's kind of interesting note. I didn't know that, but I think this report was brought out about a half a year ago or so when I heard about it. And nice to know. A lot of the people up on the upper Keokuk Rivers sense that fish should go up there, maybe not as abundant as they were before, or type of thing. I think they're into interceding somebody or some agency or somebody getting into fisheries rehabilitation types of programs, restocking, things of this sort. You know, up in the Kotzebue area, they've got reindeer farming and herding, things of this sort. There's some people in the McGrath area towards Holy Cross that are kind of thinking about domesticating moose, and perhaps herding moose for purposes of for the resource, the meat, things of this sort. This may not be a bad idea. I understand in Siberia now, they've got some pretty successful moose farming types of projects going on over there, and this type of thing is still open, and the village corporations are looking at this right now very closely. Different people in the rural areas would like to communicate. They would like to be heard, as well as to hear other people. They'd like to work together with other people. Seems as if in any proposed legislation that comes about, whether it be on the state or federal level, there's always this deal of subsistence, and also these native versus non-native type of racial thing. It's almost native versus non-native syndrome type of thing. These people, I think, do not want to see that occur. I think they want to see a good, healthy line of communications between people in urban Alaska and rural Alaska, whether they are native or non-native. I think that, personally, I think that the game is for use by Alaskans. And I think in some cases they feel that the same way. That I think it's going to have to take some, I think there's got to be more communications between people in rural and urban Alaska, whether it be native, non-native, for whatever reason. Subsistence issue, you know, if there was a definition for subsistence issue, I really don't think they want to have this racial factor in there. Probably the three most important things that I can get from talking with people is that you should look at economic dependence, you should look at traditional lifestyles, and you should look at residency, both the length of time of residency and the place. I think a lot of these people think that if this term subsistence could be defined or at least looked at in these three major factors, I think that it's possible to corner subsistence so it doesn't deal with this racial native versus non-native type of thing. Subsistence is a lifestyle, and it's going to be around in the future because it is a lifestyle. Because to live in a subsistence lifestyle, there's nutritional needs, and the people in the rural areas, I'm talking about natives now, I really think they really need this type of lifestyle. I really don't think that it's got to go. They are a sharing people, and for whatever that's worth, I sincerely hope that their wishes of communicating with other people and that their hopes of coming to a conclusion that will affect everybody in the state of Alaska on an equal level happens.
Chris Anderson of the Tanana Chiefs speaking on subsistence in rural Alaska today. I'm Jeff Kennedy. Thanks for listening.
Potlatch came to you from KUAC in Fairbanks. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting gave some of the money to produce this program.
From the University of Alaska, this has been a KUAC production.